Welcome to the podcast, Keep It Simple. Join our hosts, Tom LeComp and Gavin Durson, as they discuss the joys and challenges of being the simple church in a complex world. All right, welcome back to the podcast. Today, we still have Matt Wheeler with us from Lexington, and I'm Tom LeComp.
And I'm Gavin Durson. Welcome.
And today, we're going to take advantage of Matt being here, and we're going to talk about something we haven't talked about yet before, but we really need to have this conversation. But let's talk about leadership. Leadership is especially in a simple form of church. What does that look like? How do you do it? And whatnot. So I'll start off with my overarching opinion about leadership. And that is less is more. In other words, I'm thinking have as much leadership as you need, but don't get wrapped up around how much that is and we need more. Or like, for example, our church, we've appointed a few elders, but we still haven't decided what to do with deacons. We still haven't officially appointed any deacons. And when the time comes, we need to do that, we'll do it, but we haven't done it yet, and that's been more than 10 years. So
I think that's a great view, but what is the role? So when you say we haven't appointed deacons, what is the scriptural role for a church leader? And that, you know, we talk about elders. These are the terms we're familiar with. Mm-hmm. But let's break out of, you know, sort of maybe the things we can currently think of. What is the role of the leaders in the church?
Yeah, the scripture describes two offices of the church, and that is the elder or overseer, or some use the bishop. I think they're all interchangeable. They're the same thing. And then the deacon, which is a servant, and there's qualifications set up in the scripture, and mostly the qualifications deal with that person's character and how he behaves and how he presents himself, more than, you know, what his resume is, which I think is pretty interesting. And as far as, and I know this really wasn't prepared for this conversation. I don't have the scriptures in front of me, but from what I remember, the elder is an overseer. He oversees and directs, and that can be, I think that doesn't have to be the same thing as managing or micromanaging. I think overseeing and directing can be very hands-off as long as the church is kind of going in a good direction and avoiding error. Mm-hmm. So,
well, I'll throw my confusion into this, but I think that, you know, this issue, I remember when we first got started with Simple Church and Matt was a part of that, I'm like, you know, for some reason it seems like, you know, this seems to be, a lot of people want to talk about this the very first thing. They want to figure out elders' leadership. And again, I think a lot of that's coming from this way of the world that we are a part of, that everybody's a part of, where leadership is positional. It's about a title. It's about who's in charge. And we like that because we like someone to be able to look at someone and say, oh, this person's in charge. I can make a judgment about this person and see that they're, you know, he doesn't seem to beat his wife. He seems to be smart. I feel good about being a part of this if I know that man is the person that's in charge. Mm-hmm. The problem is that you know, a lot of times we end up, I mean, I know for a fact there are churches in town that I've had people come and tell me that they've appointed elders and they're not even believers, you know, because sometimes those things, you know, they can be deceptive. Things can be deceptive. So
I can't wrap my mind around that.
Well, I think it's simple. It happens because, again, what are we really talking about here? And I have lots of kind of hang-ups with this whole discussion, because I'm working through it continually.
So am I.
I think a couple things we know. We know that Paul appointed elders, sometimes in some cases, some people have suggested many, many, many years. I don't have their reference in front of me, but I think there's some people have suggested that when the elders in the church in Jerusalem were appointed, it was even many years beyond the when the churches were established. Mm-hmm. Certainly we know that from his journeys, he would come into a city, leave, come back 2 or 3 years later, and appoint elders. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that what Paul was doing in Timothy when he gives the list and that a lot of people go to was giving a job description and saying to people, here's what it means to be an elder, now go do this.
Right.
I think what he was doing when he did appoint elders, he was coming into a city and he was looking at the people that already were fitting this description. They were already doing the ministry. They were people that he was not putting them into a position. They were already in the position. Yeah. And he was acknowledging these people are the people that are going to be the elders. And it was, rather than a position, it was more of these are maybe more descriptive rather than prescriptive.
Right. Yeah.
And I do believe that. I think a lot of people believe that. But what I wrestle with and where I was sharing with you, Matt, before we started recording, I think where I get hung up in this conversation and where I'm still trying to kind of sift through is I think that if we honestly look at the scriptures, when Paul pointed elders, and we can say deacons too, but elders, we're kind of talking about elders. He was appointing elders for churches in a city. So he would come into Ephesus and he would appoint elders for the church in Ephesus or the church in Corinth. And I have personally a hard time. Most people, when they have this discussion, they want to talk about, well, in your simple church, who is your elder? Have you appointed an elder? Who, and if you haven't, then how can you be a biblical church? Well, I say, hold up a second. Like, is that really what we see in the New Testament? And I'm working through this, but I know I haven't come across a good answer to that question yet. Why couldn't the elder in my house church be the senior pastor of the mega church in town? If he is an elder, is he an elder in this city church? I know right now a guy who I'm thinking of who is definitely, if you were to ask me who is an elder in the church in Lexington, I mean, this guy would fit the bill. He goes around and speaks at all kinds of churches. But if there was an issue in the church in Lexington, and I know there when there have been issues, this man has been, people have been, went to this man because he exemplifies what this passage in Timothy, 1 Timothy 3 talks about. But a lot of times, again, I think we get this issue gets kind of muddy because we come at things from a very organizational approach, a very hierarchical approach, and we want to bring that into even simple church. And so, you know, I really struggle with that. I will say, though, that I do believe that leadership is an incredible gift to the church. Mm-hmm. And I think that we can get so, you know, maybe frustrated with this conversation that we forget that. I do think that if you listen back to a few other podcasts when we talked about apostles and prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers, I think that that has a lot. I think if we have a healthy and appropriate biblical understanding of what those roles were within the body of Christ, I think that a lot of that kind of dilutes the issues related to, well, who's the elder and, you know, how many are there and, you know, do elders get to vote on decision-making and we need to appoint some elders so that when we have confusion, we can let them make the decision for us and all that. I think a lot of that gets diluted. Those issues get diluted when we have a healthy understanding of the role of the apostle, prophet, evangelist, shepherd, teacher, and they're functioning together and working as a unit in things. So I'm not opposed to there being elders in Simple Church Alliance. We have not put that title on anyone, although I do believe there are elders and deacons in the simple churches in this area, and I think that you ask people who are involved, they would tell you who those people are, and I've been very slow, I think we've all been very slow to try to officially make a title out of that for someone, and maybe I would rather be too slow about that or trying to figure that out than too quick, because like, yeah. I said, you know, I think we have people that are elders that have, you know, and I've been a part of churches like this, like, You know, and just take the Great Commission, which we talked about. I mean, if you go about it the way we go about it, it's barely possible to appoint people to be elders. Great people, maybe love God, maybe, you know, love their family. But as far as being involved in the Great Commission, maybe they're not involved, you know.
Yeah.
They, I mean, and or maybe, you know, they're not really, you know, they're good people, maybe great leaders, and it would be a great leader of a CEO or of a company, so we want them to be a leader in our church, and we hope that if we appoint them to be an elder, they'll really be an elder, but I think we get it backwards, and so I think it's just something we have to be really careful about.
I think some of these issues take care of themselves a little bit. When you take away a lot of the organizational structure, even just taking care of a building. Taking care of a building is a great responsibility, and I had a blessing of being on the leadership board of a traditional church. And that building was a great blessing to us and many others, but a lot of the meetings were taking care of that building. And other things were taking care of all sorts of different kinds of organizations that were run from the top down. And if we take away a lot of those organizational constructs, the responsibility becomes taking care of people more in a different way. And I don't mean to disparage taking care of a building, because it was a blessing to many people in the community. But if we put the emphasis on taking care of people, then a lot of these things are done relationally.
Right.
So even if a person in my circle, if I don't know that anybody in the world has appointed them as an elder, but I know that they have the characteristics that's in 1 Timothy 3 is one of the places where we see that, you know, they're a person that is faithful to their wife, they're temperate, they're self-controlled, they're respectable, hospitable, not given to drunkenness, and that they don't love money, they manage their own household well, and among some other characteristics. If I know that person and I know those characteristics in their life, that person has automatically earned a right in my life to speak into my life. And if I'm following Christ, I'm going to listen to them and I'm going to submit to a lot of the things that they're doing in my life. I'm going to want to listen first, because that's the kind of man I want to be.
Yeah.
And if there's a man like that in my life, there's a person like that that's in my life, they've automatically, just through relationship, earned that role and that leadership in my life. And I hope to have that role in other people's lives by having that kind of life that's characteristic, that has fruit of somebody that's following Jesus. And if nobody in the world appoints me in anything, and I'm following those things and learning to grow in those things, I believe that expands my sphere of influence to the people that are in my life. And so I think there is a great place to appoint these people, but even if those people are never appointed, never quote-unquote recognized, their influence for the kingdom can be that of an elder and a deacon, just through the relationship and not through somebody giving them a position.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had a guy, I was actually having this very same conversation. I might have even been you, Matt. I don't remember. No, it wasn't you, but we were talking about it, and this guy, this one particular individual who I was thinking of earlier, who I would definitely say is an elder in the city church here in Lexington. We were talking about this very thing, and I even mentioned my name, and he walked in right at the time we were talking about it. And I was like, man, are your ears burning? You know, I was just talking about you. We were talking about elders, and I asked him, I said, you know, what is your take on elders? And he said, well, every church that I've ever been in, and somebody came to me and said, I have an issue that I want to bring before the elders, he said, I always told them, well, who do you know that fits the description of the elder that's in this church?
Hmm.
And then you need to go to them. And he would always, you know, that was kind of what he said, which was kind of interesting, because I didn't really know what his view about elders were. Mm-hmm. But I thought that was a very interesting approach and a thought, because I think, Matt, what you're talking about, it is this relational aspect. You know, when you have, again, in simple church, there's never really a situation where in your church you have 1,000 people and people that don't know each other and people that don't have a relationship with each other. I mean, that's a very real problem.
Unless it's a mega house church.
Unless it's a mega house church, which we'll talk about that in another podcast. Or you can just Google mega house church. But anyways, so you never really have that situation. But in the modern church, like, there are situations where you have that. You have issues, and the Bible says, I'm to bring this before the elders. Well, You might not the elder may not even know your name. And so you have to have a list of them to go, and maybe you call the office, and they have to be able to tell you who the elders are. And the elders may be people in the church that that lady on the phone does not even really know or have a relationship with. So she's just said, well, some cases that people that answer the phone at churches don't even go to that church. They have to be able to tell you, well, the committee decided that here are the elders. And so it's just – it's a matter of, like, function. I mean, I can see how we've got to where we are. People with good intentions, good hearts, wanting to help people, be faithful to the scriptures, make good decisions, and help people to follow and obey the word and have these things in place. But I think that a lot of that has come, even though it's come from a good place, I think that it has led us to a place that's, you have crazy things happening, like I said, elders that aren't even Christians, or and people going to them to tell them what to do, and they don't even know these people, you know? Right. So I think a lot of it gets solved, and Matt, you mentioned this. I think maybe we could, you know, to me, where this comes back to, it's an authority issue, and that's where a lot of people, they want to know who's in charge, who's in authority. And I think that authority is always best talked about under the context of submission to one another. And we know that. We talked about one anothering. Submitting to one another, whether it's in your marriage, whether it's in the church, this is something that we have to always be in a posture to do.
Yeah,
I think one of the things that we miss out on a lot is by looking for that great leader to follow that's not Jesus. Certainly we can emulate our lives around other people, but if we're looking for, well, which person here can tell me what to do, and which person can I tell, get lost, you don't have authority over me. I think if when we're looking for that, our hearts sometimes aren't in the right place. And just as an example of this going well, and I think is a great example to me, is when Gavin and I started along this journey with several other people about wanting to start this house church movement, this home church movement. We didn't know anything. We there was three guys, and we all committed to go to five people, and they were not all in the same. Do you remember this? We said we're each going to pick out five people that we look up to that match these characteristics in all different kinds of walks of faith. Some people have done this, some people that are in, you know, and one of the people that I went to was the head pastor of the church that we were at. And I put this idea and I said, this is really something that God is doing. God is really pushing us in this direction. And he was very encouraging. He said, you know, this, but he said, I just want to make sure that that this is not something that's being born out of rebellion to something else. I kind of thought about it. I didn't know. And he said, in every church plant, sometimes there are people that go that have a rebellious nature. And he said, you know, I just don't feel like this is the time for it. And there was some frustration on my part, because, like, but this is what God is doing. But in that time, God had clearly put Gavin and I and another guy in this structure. And it was not one of these things that's like, well, you know, God told me to do this, and who is man to stand my way? It was one of these things that said, God, you know, you speak through us through all sorts of different people, and I'm going to submit myself to this person and see what you do with this vision. And a year went by, and we still thought about these things and prayed about them, and another year went by. And then it came that through the senior pastor and the leadership of the church, they said, we really feel called to plant a new church, to be part of this church planting movement, and here are the principles and the ideas behind this. And one of the things is, we feel called to put this in Gavin's hands and to trust that God has a vision for him, even if it's different than what we like to do as a church. And through that, it was such a blessing to be planted as a blessing and not a rebellion to anything. And it meant submitting for a while and seeing. I kind of thought, man, this thing kind of just died. And it did. It was like a seed that fell to the ground. It died, and then it grew up strong in love, in submission. We've had the blessing and the support from people in a great congregation here. And I think it's really abnormal for a lot of house churches to have that kind of support from a traditional church, where we have a great relationship with them. And I believe that it happened because of obedience and submission to the authority that at that time we were. There's such a great advantage to submitting, even when we don't. Submitting doesn't mean, oh, I think you have the right idea. Submitting thinks we have different ideas. And in this case, I'm going to let your, this is not a church splitting issue. This is, I'm going to let your ideas go first. And Jesus said, the greatest among us will be the servant to the others. and it's like a contest to see who can be the, serve the other person the most.
Yeah. Yeah, that was such an interesting time because the time that Matt's referring to, Matt and I had talked about Simple Church for many years, and it was a great idea, and it was kind of bore, in my heart at least, it was bore out of a rebellious spirit in the sense that I thought I had found something that made so much sense, and here we were a part of this church that, you know, I was reluctantly maybe going to because I felt like I had to go to church, and here they were wanting to build millions of dollars in buildings and offices, and, you know, I just thought, man, this is ridiculous. You know, these people don't know what they're doing. And the Lord really stopped me and just kind of showed me that, you know what, like, I don't understand this. I don't get it. It doesn't make sense to me. I don't have to even love this idea that they have for building millions of dollars worth of buildings. But God clearly showed me that where I was in my life, there were people that I needed to submit. I just needed to submit to their leadership. And even though it didn't make sense to me. And so, and I think that's what you're referring to, and that kind of happened with you too. Mm-hmm. And that I remember just clearly just even saying to the Lord, Lord, I submit to these people. And that's when a lot of things started changing in my own heart, and I let it die. I let my willingness to think I had all the answers die, and God started doing a lot of cool things with that. But, yeah, you know, the thing about authority and the thing about leadership is that, and I shared this with the folks at the Catholic radio station, I said, you know, the bottom line is that authority only works ever if there is a willingness to submit. I could appoint you the Pope, I could appoint you to be in charge of my house church, but the bottom line is if there's no relational authority rather than positional authority, if there's not that what you described, Matt, a willingness to look at these people and say, I choose, Lord, to submit to them, whether it's my wife or whether it's, you know, my coworker, boss or church leader or guide myself, no one can ever make someone, and the kingdom of God doesn't work that way. Mm-hmm. And we can put people in charge. If it worked that way, then we would have every Christian in America would not be getting divorced. Every Christian in America would believe that Jesus is, you have to trust in him. They would believe that, you know, because we've tried that. We put people in these positions and say, now this person's in charge of making sure that all this stuff works out. Well, people are not willing to submit to that person. If they're not willing to go to them and say, you know, I don't know what to think here or to believe or to do. What do you think I should do? I want to lean on you because I trust you. I see that you're this kind of a person. Well, if you know, we've tried it. It just does not work. It's proven that. I mean, you all have seen the studies. We don't have to go through them. I mean, the church is full of people that don't even believe that Jesus is God. That, you know, and that
they go to church a lot,
and they're members. Maybe even like I said, you know. So if positional authority worked, if that's what this was, I just don't. It doesn't work, you know. And I don't think anyone, you know, you have to be willing to submit to the leadership, whoever title if they've been given. Mm-hmm. If you don't submit to them and you're not willing to do that, then they can be called and put in whatever position they want, and it's not going to change anything. You know, no one's going to follow, and so. I think there's something to be said for that. Again, I'm still working through this, but I really have enjoyed just this conversation because I think that, you know, we got to get it out there and talk about it. And so a lot of people want to talk about it.
And a couple of more things I'll say is when you were talking about the apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, shepherds, the apest. And they sometimes function as leaders, and leaders function, you know, leaders have some of these gifts. I see a distinction, though, in the scriptures where those are given by the Spirit, and the elders and the deacons, hopefully they're given by the Spirit, but they're also appointed. There's some man-made process involved in that appointing. And hopefully that man-made process is a Spirit-filled man doing the appointing. So having said that, I think, you know, we're kind of nebulous about, we're not being specific about leadership. Well, you should appoint them this way. You should have this for how many. Where a small church or house church is going to gel with their leadership is when a crisis comes up, a test, a trial, a disciplinary action. That's when you're going to find out who your leaders are. You're going to find out what they're made of, who you're going to follow. Hopefully, you know, who is following the scriptures, who is following their ego. And that's been true in our church, and I think it's true in any church, no matter what the size or structure.
Yeah. And I think there, you know, I mean, I'm just sitting here, you know, as we're having this discussion, just looking over this list. And, you know, again, I think what we want to do, again, if we look at this as a prescription, you know, I mean, if anyone, you know, he must, husband of one wife, self-controlled. He must be self-controlled. Okay, let's just stop there. Okay, who qualified to be self? Who's self-controlled? You know what I mean? Like, you saw, you know, it just gets into this weird situation where if we want to try to start out.
Nobody is any of these 100% of the time.
Nobody is. Yeah. But yet, I remember having a conversation with somebody, and I felt for them because they were wrestling through this, but they just said, you know, I look around and, you know, I don't see anyone that's qualified to be a leader.
But at the same time, you look at a room full of guys, you're going to say, that guy has self-control, you know? He may lose it, you know, when Louisville beats, you know, somebody. He may lose it for a while, but generally speaking, he exhibits self-control most of the time. I think that's what they're talking about.
He has
a reputation of
being,
you know, good with his household and loving his wife.
But it does get into hairy business whenever some people, you know, again, they think they have self-control. They know something, but then it's like, well, hey, I don't think that person has self-control. You know, it's like I remember when I was with FCA, I would always get such a kick out of, like, I'd show up and talk about, oh, man, Coach so-and-so, man, he's awesome, dude. He loves God. I mean, he's one of our top guys involved with FCA. You ought to have him come over and, you know, share with your team or whatever. And they're like, Coach so-and-so? They're like, I was at the game the other night. I wouldn't have never believed that guy was a Christian. I'm like, yeah, oh, yeah. It's like, we've ever seen him at the game? Well, yeah, but, you know, he, you know, whatever. It's just, it's always so much of this, you know, you get into all this situation where, and I think we have to just be very careful of that because we want to judge people. We want to try to figure out. We want to put everybody up on the board and figure out, here's our
what's
top.
What's the pecking order?
Yeah. And then you know, and then who gets to decide those things, you know?
And another thing is we should let other people decide who these are and not ourselves.
Yeah.
Because I could tell you I'm self-controlled all day long and Bonnie could come up and say, oh, no, he's not.
Yeah. So. And it comes back to me again with this issue I'm wrestling with presently. I'm just – what is the implications of the city church in this discussion? You know, why couldn't an elder in my house church actually not even be in my house church? Why couldn't could there be five elders in the city church at Lexington and who are those people? And
you're blowing my mind.
Well, I don't want to blow.
I don't know. I haven't thought through the city thing yet. I'm just thinking of, you know, our situation.
Yeah.
And I guess most people are. They're thinking about, all right, I got 10 people. Do I need an elder?
Yeah.
How do I decide? Do I need some deacons? You know, nobody's parking cars, so I don't know.
Yeah.
How do you decide how much or what leadership? What is even the process of appointing someone? Do you vote? You call someone else in to appoint? I don't think these are going to be answered in this podcast because we haven't figured it out either.
Yeah,
quite. So,
well, it's a good discussion, and I'm glad we could start it. And we'd love to hear from you. Maybe you have a thought about this. Once you send us an email, you can get in touch with me at Gavin GavinDuerson at gmail.com. GavinDuerson at gmail.com. And Tom, you can be reached at
Rubanitu, that's Rubanitu @gmail.com.
And Matt, what about you?
You're in it now.
Yeah, you're in it, Matt. It's officially part of the podcast. He can't get. There's no turning back. He's giving his email out.
You can email me at matt.wheeler@provenlearning.com, and I'd certainly be.
We'll put your link up on this.
Yeah, great.
On the podcast.
Yeah. All right. That's cool. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Matt. Thanks, Gavin.
Thank you.
Thank you, listeners.
And thank you, Tom. Tom is the one that, man, he's really he's the instigator of all this. He's the one that does all the editing. And he puts a lot of time into it. He's got the mic. He went all out. And, man, Tom, we owe a lot to you for keeping this conversation going. I enjoy it.
Me too. I hope it helps somebody. All right. Good deal. You've been listening to Keep It Simple, a podcast dedicated to the idea of being the church in simple ways. Find us on the web at keepitsimplepodcast.com. That's keepitsimplepodcast.com. You can also like us on Facebook at Keep It Simple, a simple church podcast. Or you can find us on iTunes. We welcome your feedback and your prayers.